Hello, welcome everyone. I am so glad that you decided to spend part of your time with us. I'm Dr. Luana Parker, your host, and I have a very special presentation for you in honor of Veterans Day. My special guest is Edward Jones. I heard Edward make this presentation, and I knew it needed to be shared. I have asked him to do this presentation for you. Then I will ask him a few questions if time is allowed. Edward has a podcast show on iHeartRadio, and you can hear it each Monday morning at 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. Before we begin our presentation, or your presentation, as we stand, Edward, could you take a couple of minutes and tell us who is Edward Jones?
Well, thank you, LaWanna. I'm glad to be here. Folks, you got to know this lady is my mentor. So I'm so glad that always, whenever she calls on me to do something, I'm always glad to do that. I am a certified life coach. I used to work in universities as an administrator, but now I'm a life coach, a podcast host, a blogger, do everything to hopefully make people's lives better, especially in the workplace. LaWanna and I are both in Toastmasters, and the talk I'm going to do today is a repeat of what I did this morning. And because it's so close to Veterans Day, we thought it was most appropriate to do that. A lot of family members in the military, father-in-law, so many people did it. I just thought it was very appropriate to have this presentation this week.
Well, thank you. And if you will take the center stage, share with us. I know others are going to enjoy it as much as I did this morning. So, Edward Jones, please share with us a day to remember.
For sure. And what I'll do, folks, I'm going to share my screen with you so that you will have an idea of what I shared with our team this morning. So I've got everything there. One thing that I wanted to do is make sure at the end we have a beautiful video that I want you to see. So I'm going to make a point of making sure the music is there. But here is my screen, and it is a day to remember. I started the presentation today with a quiz, and I'm going to give that quiz to you. Some of the feedback that I got from the people at the meeting this morning is that I did not give them enough time to answer the questions. But in that setting, I was under time constraints. So, a day to remember, we're going to introduce this presentation with a short quiz. Once you put your answers down, we'll go over those to see how well you did, and then we'll move forward. It's quiz time, folks. Your first question. World War I was called the war, fill in the blank. The second question, Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day to commemorate the end of which war? Number three, what federal holiday do most people confuse with Veterans Day? Number four, which countries do not celebrate Veterans Day on November the 11th? And toward the end of this presentation, I will explain the significance of November the 11th. Your choices for this quiz are Canada, Kenya, and Great Britain. Now, one thing for sure is all of these countries celebrate Veterans Day, or some call it Remembrance Day, but the one that does not is Kenya. They didn't find out about the end of the war until 2 weeks later, so they celebrated 2 weeks later. Great Britain celebrates it on the weekend closest to November the 11th, so some years it does fall on the 11th. So those are the ones that do that, but all of them celebrated in one way or another because this was a world war. Your last question, why was Veterans Day spelled without an apostrophe? The reason it doesn't belong to anyone or any group. It is a day to honor veterans, whether living, dead, whether serving on the front lines or in support roles, no matter what. Anybody who is wearing the uniform, Veterans Day is celebrating their service. Memorial Day is a day to celebrate those who gave their lives in the service of this country, but Veterans Day is for everyone. So that's your introduction, your quiz, and you can see how well you did with your answers. Now, let's talk about how this war got started. The catalyst was 1914, when Franz Ferdinand, the heir to the Austrian Empire, was shot by a Serbian patriot. I don't know why he shot him, but let's get a little backstory to see how it all came about. It started in the 1880s. Each European country was jockeying for power, for resources. They wanted to be recognized as the biggest and the baddest country in Europe. They wanted the biggest treasuries. They wanted the most land. They wanted the biggest amount of resources. They even got together, and some of them even got together to figure out who had the biggest military. Now, they knew that if they worked alone, they could probably be strong, but it might be helpful to have allies. So they got like-minded leaders of countries and created allies with them. Germany, Austria, Hungary got together with one alliance. France and Russia are thinking, if they get together, maybe we ought to have an alliance because we are like-minded. Now, all of these countries had colonies. So the idea that if a war came about, then it would in fact be a world war. And that's exactly what happened when Franz Ferdinand was shot. Now, we over in the United States were thinking, that's their problem. They're over there. As long as it doesn't affect us, we're good. So we're doing just fine. But then along about 1917, things are getting a little tough over there. It's a real knockdown, drag out, really tough thing going on. And everybody's trying to find that competitive edge. And the United States, we declared ourselves neutral, but the German, Austrian, Hungarian group didn't see us that way, because we were giving supplies to the French and Russian allies. So the thing that they thought was, we're going to sink some of these ships on the trade routes, which was a violation of the Sussex Pledge. That meant that civilian ships would not be attacked. But since they saw us as not neutral, and that would affect them in terms of being able to beat the allies, they chose to do that. Took off the supply road, so now it affected us. President Woodrow Wilson said, HLL hockey sticks, we're gonna have to join this war after all. The problem is our army was small. We had 126,000 volunteer members in the service. So we had to implement the draft. Got the draft, start getting people in. Then they had to find a leader who could actually supervise these men in war. They searched. This is John Blackjack Pershing. He wasn't the first choice to lead the American Allied Forces, but he ended up arguably the best choice because he was able to get everybody together. From the American standpoint, they even wanted to mix in people from other European countries, but he really didn't want that. He was very solid with the American troops. His name is John Blackjack Pershing. The reason for his nickname is that in addition to supervising entire armies, he also commanded some all-Black troops because the services were not integrated back in those days. He supervised them in the West, in the American West, Mexico, and the Philippines. Now, one of his proteges was a guy named Henry Johnson. Now, most African Americans were in support roles. They were cooks, they provided supplies for those on the front line. But African Americans wanted to fight because they wanted to show their loyalty to the United States. Because of Dr. General Pershing's work with African American troops before, he said, I want to help them get them in the army to help. Now, a lot of Americans weren't ready for that one. So General Pershing said, we're going to loan them to the French. So they worked under the French command. And Henry Johnson was such a great soldier that he was the first American to win the Croix de Guerre Medal for military service. He was the first to get that. 170 of his people on his in his regiment got it as well, but they gave him hell before Harry Truman coined the phrase 3 decades later. They really helped turn the war in Europe. And Henry Johnson is a guy who stands out. He also got an American medal for his honor. Now, that medal was delayed. In fact, it didn't come till he had passed away, but nevertheless, he earned that medal as well. So he made a point of making sure that African Americans, along with other soldiers, represented the United States well and helped bring about an end to that war. Now, the thing we look at, that war ended in 1918. A lot of cities, and of course, the nation, they celebrated every year. Now, it wasn't always, it started on the 11th, then they combined it with other holidays, but the American people weren't going to have it. They wanted it on November the 11th. So eventually it got back to November 11th, and that's where it is. And so what I'm going to show you now is a clip of one of the celebrations in Knoxville, Tennessee. When I listen to this, it really, really warms my heart, and perhaps we'll do the same for you.
Across American history, men and women from every military branch have answered the call to serve and, when called on, to fight under the stars and stripes. Today, we recognize their service and sacrifice, and we join all of East Tennessee in offering our deepest thanks. November 11th marks a day of tributes across the nation to veterans, and we're proud to bring you one of our city's greatest and grandest traditions. Welcome to Knoxville's 93rd Veterans Day Parade.
And that was, I hope you were able to hear the sound on that.
Yes.
Because it definitely warmed my heart when I heard that. I'm just saying, oh my goodness, that's a crescendo. If anybody's got just an ounce of patriotism in them, that last song will definitely bring it out. Now, what is so significant about the September, November the 11th, it was the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour when the war ended. Now, that was the armistice. Now, the Treaty of Versailles actually, the official close, and that was the following year, but that was the day fighting stopped. And everybody was to come together to do that thing so the world would be at peace, at least for another 20 years. A lot of people gave their lives in that sacrifice to make this a better place, and hopefully we will learn from that one. But the thing that I say, whenever we see somebody in the uniform or working in the military, the one thing that we must first say to that person, no matter what they did, is thank you for your service. We're looking forward to have a great Veterans Day this year on the 104th anniversary of Armistice Day. So enjoy the holiday. And I look forward to definitely commending my family members who are in service for what they do to make this country safe for us today. So that's it, Luan. I just want to kind of give that overview of that to let you know what it meant to me, what inspired me to actually do this presentation today.
Well, thank you so much, Edward. The military for me has always been special. And having so many members of my family like yours who have taken part in the military. And in fact, I have family members who are still in the military. One of my sons is still in the military. I feel honored that three of them volunteered on their own to be in the military. And when there was someone to ask me, well, what made your kids do that? I said, I have no idea. My firstborn told me when I asked him, he said he wanted to pay back the country for what it had done for him. Now, he was only 18. I don't know what he saw that maybe the rest of us missed, but that was his comment. But yes, I'm very proud of the men and women who serve, because the rest of us forget. We can sleep at night. We don't have to worry about people coming in to invade us. At least so far, we hit that awful 9/11, but I don't think we'll fall asleep again. At least I pray we don't fall asleep again and take it for granted that because we're here, we're untouchable. At any rate, I thank you for this. Having heard it this morning, I knew I needed to share it with other people as well. So I'm just grateful you were willing to come on here and talk about it. So you said because of family members, you were doing this. Have you ever been in the military?
No, I have not. You know, it's really interesting that when I went to college, I went with very, very close friends. And the interesting thing is that after they finished college, they joined the military. And I thought, because I thought at one point in time, I thought about doing it before going to college. And I thought they said if you do that, you could they'd pay for your education. You'd do 4 years for them, 4 years of service. And if you stayed another 12 years, you could retire in 20 years as a second lieutenant. And that sounded really appealing to me. And in fact, I had a chance to go to the Air Force Academy. And then stupid decision, because I said the Air Force Academy back in those days, it was all male. There were no females. I'm thinking, my goodness, I don't want to be on a place like that. So anyway, so I just went on to college and went from there. But my roommate and a couple of close friends, they all joined some branch of the military service. One of them actually ended up becoming a dentist and is now retired in Florida. And we're all from Illinois, but the service, it actually, with their education and with their ability to go around the country, they saw so much and were able to enhance what they learned in college by joining the military.
You know, that's so true. I know my son that's still active in the military. He's been all over the place. He actually is in law enforcement. But because he's in the reserve, he gets called up quite a bit and sent to various places. And some of those places he's been sent for a year. And I said, they let you go that long from your job and you can come right back to it? And he said, they don't have a choice. You know, but it's something that I'm very proud of, because it's not just the military. To me, anybody who puts their life on the line for anyone else deserves that extra special something, because I don't know if I have it in me. At one time I talked about joining the military, and then I found myself in the family way, and I decided I'd rather take care of my child than go into the military. But there are times when I wonder if I made a mistake. Maybe I should have let my mom raise him while I went into the military, but I don't think so. I needed to be a mom. I have a regret about being a mom. At any rate, so you have a show, a podcast show on iHeart. So tell us about your show and how long you've been doing it. And how can, if someone wants to be a part of your show, how can they get on there?
Well, I'll be glad to do that. But I just want to make one more point about the Veterans Day. Say, think about I love the way military people stand, the posture, the positive, the discipline. I really think that is so important. And I think the more people that would have that, I think we probably wouldn't have as many wayward people, I think. So some people actually, that's one thing that people used to do back in my day when people were not disciplined, they went to the military to gain that discipline and they walk up straighter. They're, you know, just have a way of staying. They turn the corners tighter. They do all those things. That discipline is great. I think I gathered the discipline on my own. And one of the things that I definitely got from my dad, and I think it was part of his military service, he was saying that early is on time is late. So we were always on time for everything. And we always, you know, just, and it's like, he gave me that disease. Mm-hmm. So, but I do think it's a good thing because when I would go and, switch into the work thing, because I'm a work relationship coach, when I would work, I'd always want to get to work before everybody else because I could look at everything that's there. And I had a saying that you're either pitching or catching. If you get there early and you have all the information, you can delegate, you can pitch. If you come in late, you're catching everything people are throwing at you. And so that's the thing there. That type of discipline in work, I think, is important. My show is on 7:30 Monday mornings. It's called Work Relationships Matter. I have a lot of guests. What I have my guests do is talk about the things that made them successful. I have them talk about the toughest situations they faced and how they handled them. Because there's so many people who start out at work and they're having a problem. They think they're the only one that ever faced that problem. Where other people have faced it, other people have overcome it, they're looking back at it and looking for something else. So I want people to make sure that they're able to see they may be in a tough spot, but they can overcome it. I also ask my guests to talk about what is most rewarding about their work. Because you're going to have tough times, but if you love it, you don't work a day in your life. You just go through those things there. So my show is to inspire people to be able to overcome, to be able to work with, to be able to get the best out of themselves and to make sure that they're in the right place, in the right job. So because relationship with work and with individuals matter. You spend at least eight hours a day there, you might as well make it an enjoyable time.
You know, I heard your show this morning and I thought it was very inspiring. The two women who were talking about children with autism and some of the things that they went through and felt as they were going through them. I really enjoyed that. And you're right, more people need to hear that because sometimes you do think you're going through something and nobody else is experiencing it but you. And to hear them share those deep down thoughts and feelings that they had, you know, like the one lady who said, I was depressed. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I recognized that I was depressed because of the things that I was going through and not being sure how to handle them. And so I thought it was very inspiring just to hear those words from them. You have a very good show. I try to catch it as often as I can, and you have some great guests who truly do inspire others.
Right, because the one woman had to actually quit her job because autism, I forgot what the rate is, but I think it's maybe 1 in 42 children or births or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she had to give it up. She was a kind of a type A personality. It's like, you know, let's get it done. And, you know what you need to do, let's do it. But she had to step back, be patient. That was a tough thing for her to face. But then when she, I guess, let go, and I guess if it's okay to say, let go and let God, then she was able to manage that situation better. Her husband had a harder time because when he thought about sons, he wanted that athlete or that guy who was going to go hunting with him, and that wasn't going to happen. So he had to learn, work through that. And what they're doing now is getting their own show. And they're going to help other people overcome those obstacles in terms of their attitude. Because you can't change the situation, but you can change how you deal with it.
Exactly.
And so So that's what they're doing. And the irony of it, that is not even in my genre of podcast. But Brenda was a friend from way back when, and she just said, I got this thing that might be of interest to you. And I'm thinking, how's this going to work with me? And once I got that story, I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
I thought it was great that she brought up about the men, because sometimes we do forget the men.
Right.
They have to go through in situations like this, their thoughts and feelings. Because you're right, a man automatically has these big ideas about what the son is going to be like. I even thought about if I had a girl, which I did not ask the Lord for, but had I had a girl, I was hoping she would want to be like me, of course, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it was really a great show, and I commend you on having your show and the guests that you invite on there. You yourself are very inspiring. I just love listening to you. If it was up to me, I'd probably have you on something every single day, because it would just be great. We need to hear more people like you speak. So, well, how can we get in touch with you if we want to be on your show?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me, and I usually use my personal email. I have two, but the one that I'm just so used to using is JonesED, that's JonesED43@gmail.com. And I have my website. You go to my website, see my blogs and all the things that I do, and that's www.toadating.com. And it's all one word. And I have a work relationship quiz. If you take that, you can get a complimentary coaching session.
Okay. Could you repeat that website again? Because you kind of paused there for a second. Okay, not you, but the Zoom or the internet.
Okay. It's www.prodestinycoaching.com.
Very good. Very good. Well, you heard him. And now you know all about Mr. Jones and how he can certainly help you if you're interested in being on a podcast show. But especially, I thank you so much for sharing your presentation with us today. It has been such an honor and pleasure to have you here with us. And for the rest of you, I'm thrilled that you took the time and trouble to spend a few minutes with us to hear this presentation. We need to hear more things about people, both past and present. So if you're interested in hearing more about stories, then take time to check me out. I'll be bringing more. And you can always reach me at LaWanna@LaWannaSpeaks.com, or you can follow me over on my blog, which is LaWannaSblog.com. And if you like this and would like to hear more of these stories, then please like, share, and leave a comment. So until the next time, as I always say, stay safe and keep the faith.